Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Rama Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nithai Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nithai Bol, Hari
நாராயணம் நமஸ்கிருத்ரம் நரம் சைவ நருத்தமம் தேவிம் சரஸ்வதிம் வ்யாசம் ததோ ஜயம் உதீரேத் நஷ்ட ப்ராயேஷு அபத்ரேஷு நித்யம் பாகவத சேவயா பகவதி உத்தம ஸ்லோகே பக்திர் பவதி நைஷ்டிகி. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய, ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய, ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. Reading from 6th canto, chapter 4, verse 42, correct? 40, yeah. Okay, I'm just having some trouble finding the right distance. Tam tatha vanan. What verse is there? 43, okay. Shri Bhagavan uvacha prachetasa mahabhaga samsiddhas tapasa bhavan yashraddhaya matparaya மயி பாவாம் பராம் கதஹ. ஸ்ரீ பகவான் உவாச பிரசேதாஸ மஹாபாகோ சம்சித்தஸ் தபஸா பவான் யஸ்ரத்தயா மத்பராயா மயி பாவாம் பராம் கதஹ. பராம் கதஹ. One more time. Shri Bhagavan uvacha prachetasa mahabhaga samsiddhas tapasa bhavan yashraddhaya pamatparaya mai bhavam param gatah. Shri Bhagavan uvacha பிரச்சேதஸ மஹாபாக ஸ்ரீ பகவான் உவாச யஸ்ரத்தயா மத்பராய ஸ்ரீ பகவான் உவாச பிரசேதஸ மஹாபாக संसिद्धस्तपसा भवान् यश्रद्धाय मत्पराया मयि भावं परं गतः माताजी श्रीभगवान् उवाच श्रीभगवान् उवाच चेतसा महाभागा संसिद्धस्तपसा भवान् यश्रद्धाया मत्पराया मयि भावं परं गतः थैंक यू वेरी मच श्रीभगवान् उवाच द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हैड सेड Prachetasa, O my dear Prachetasa, Mahabhaga, O you who are so fortunate, Samsiddha, perfected, Tapasa, by your austerities, Bhavan, your good self, Yat, because, Shraddhaya, by great faith. Matparaya, whose object is me. Mai, in me. Bhavam, ecstasy. Param, supreme. Gataha, attained. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O most fortunate Prachetasa, because of your great faith in me, you have attained the supreme devotional ecstasy. Indeed, because of your austerities, combined with exalted devotion, your life is now successful. You have achieved complete perfection. Purport. As the Lord Himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita 8:15, one reaches the highest perfection when he attains the fortune of realizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mam upetya punarjanma dukkhalayam ashashvatam na apnavanti mahatmanah samsiddhim paramam gatah. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world which is full of miseries because they have attained the highest perfection. Therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement teaches one to follow the path towards the topmost perfection simply by performing devotional service. So we'll read the translation one more time, 42 and 43, 42 if you have it. Although Prajapati Daksha could not say anything when the Lord, who knows everyone's heart, when the Lord, who knows everyone's heart, saw his devotee prostrate in that manner and desiring to increase the population, he addressed him as follows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O most fortunate Prachetasa, because of your great faith in me, you have attained the supreme devotional ecstasy. Indeed, because of your austerities, combined with exalted devotion, your life is now successful. You have achieved complete perfection. I'll read two more verses, just translations at least, so get an idea of the section. 44. My dear Prajapati Daksha, this is the next verse, you have performed extreme austerities for the welfare and growth of the world. My desire also is that everyone within this world be happy. I am therefore very pleased with you because you are endeavoring to fulfill my desire for the welfare of the entire world. 44. 45. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the Manus, all the other demigods in the higher planetary systems, and you Prajapatis, who are increasing the population, are working for the benefit of all living entities. Thus, you expansions of my marginal energy are incarnations of my various qualities. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Rita Shri Vishakan Vitamsya He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatharanam. Well, thank you all for coming to this Bhagavatam class and giving me an opportunity to share and learn with all of you. It's always an honor and a pleasure to read Bhagavatam and speak in front of Kishore Kishore and Srila Prabhupada. So here, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is beginning to speak. And he understands that Prajapati Daksha, like it happens with many of us, when we come in front of the deities, we are stunned, not in ecstasy, but just the words don't come out. But Prajapati Daksha and the Supreme Lord was very, very pleased with the prayers that Prajapati Daksha offered, and he came, and as we saw, there was not any specific personal prayer that he offered Prajapati Daksha, but the Supreme Lord residing in everyone's heart, he knows the heart of every living entity, so he understood the heart of Prajapati Daksha. He understood that in the realm of service, there are unlimited services. And Srila Prabhupada has taught us that every service is actually on a transcendental platform. So it's been, for me, it's been quite purifying reading this section. And so here, Prajapati Daksha, as we are reading in the next 2-3 verses, so they are performing a specific, he's performing a specific service on behalf of the Lord. And the specific service that he has been called upon is to increase the population. So we, conditioned living entities, we might have some, judgments and biases about, different services. But here we can clearly see how the Supreme Lord, he's not, judging Prajapati Daksha at all. Yeah, he has a desire to increase population. But, well, there is a place for it in Krishna service. And, here, as we can clearly see, he is actually very, very happy that he is coming forward. Prajapati Daksha is performing that service. And as we are reading the future verses, the Supreme Lord, he has the welfare, the well-wishing of all living entities. Especially in this material world, And so he creates this material world for some of the living entities who have somehow rebelled from him and want to enjoy independently of Krishna, independently of him. So he creates this material realm, material world, where if the living entities, if they choose to, you know, they can forget him. But on the other hand, if they want to reconnect with him and reestablish their relationship with him, he gives all facilities. So the living entities, maybe they need a kshetra, you know, where they can fulfill their desires, if you will. And the Supreme Lord, like a very compassionate and loving father, you know, he creates this material realm for that. And as we know, you know, as all of you know, the Supreme Lord, he, in a way, he doesn't do anything. Just he wills, and then he engages, he engages some living entities in the services that he requires. So it's a great fortune. You know, the word that we heard today is Mahabhaga. One of the words is Mahabhaga. So Maharaj Prajapati Daksha, he is very, very fortunate. He is most fortunate because he has an opportunity to render some service to the Supreme Lord. That's the greatest fortune, to have, you know, an opportunity to render some service. But that is our constitutional position. We are a spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna. So actually, this is the nature of the soul, is to serve Krishna. So Prajapati Daksha here, he is being engaged by Lord Vishnu in a specific service. And he's, as we are reading the next few verses, he is very, very grateful. The Supreme Lord is very, very grateful to him. That thank you very much. Actually, my desire is the welfare of all living entities. And he's saying, and you are understanding my desire and you're cooperating with me in fulfilling my desire for all living entities. So actually, Prajapati Daksha, he is very, very intimate, very, very close to the Supreme Lord. So this is one specific thing that I wanted to share, the first thing. So there are different services. And in the realms of devotional service, it's not like one is higher and one is lower. You know, especially in this context, like Brahmacharya and, you know, Grihasthas, for example. So the Grihasthas, if you read the purport of 43, you know, 44 detail, long purport, Prabhupada writes, he writes that the householders who, you know, beget children for the liberation of the living entities, for the children, that's a glorious service. So the Grihasthas, they perform some service. For example, the scriptures, they glorify. There's this human form of life is so rare, it's hardly attained. There are 8.4 million species of life. And so this human form of life is very rarely attained. But how do we get that human form of life? We get it from some parents. So they are performing a specific service on behalf of the Lord. So the Supreme Lord, he doesn't judge, he doesn't, you know, look down upon different services or differentiate different services, if you will. In fact, at the end, he is very explicit. He says, here is this, you know, beautiful and chaste wife. And he says, you unite with her in sexual intercourse and you create progeny. So again, this is like Bhagavad Gita. If we connect Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, that sex life, which is religious, that I am. So for Krishna, Vishnu, it's not, you know, anyway, I'm sort of speaking in a particular way. It's not abominable, you know, as some of us think. It's not like they're averse to it. But again, of course, depending on one's nature, one's desires, different living entities are engaged in different ways. The Brahmacharya is engaged. He's actually the Brahmachari ashram. Brahmachari is a servant of all. is the servant of all. So the Brahmachari, his main services to, you know, hear, right, study scriptures and serve, you know, everyone. The Grihasthas, they have a particular services, and they are also given some licenses within the Grihastha ashram. The Vanaprasthas, they have their service. The Sannyasis, they have their service. So different Varna and Ashrama, so there are services. So everybody is engaged in the service of the Lord. So we have to see that. And this is the most fortunate Mahabhaga that, you know, the verse is talking about. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "O most fortunate Prachetasa, because of your great faith in me, you have attained the supreme devotional ecstasy. Indeed, because of your austerities combined with exalted devotion, your life is now successful. You have achieved complete perfection." Yeah. So that's the first point I wanted to mention, that everybody, you know, they have an opportunity to serve Krishna, and the different services are on the absolute platform. We may have some, you know, material ideas about them, but the Supreme Lord and the pure devotees, they don't have any such, you know, misconceptions. That's one. Then here, another important point here is, "O most fortunate one, because of your great faith in me, you have attained the supreme devotional ecstasy." So this verse, in a sense, conveys also the stages of bhakti. Adav Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishtha, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, and Prema. So how does bhakti begin? Bhakti begins with Shraddha. So somehow or the other, there is some faith, some little faith, that there has to be more to life than eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So when somebody has little faith like that, so somehow or the other, Krishna, he makes an arrangement that they can come in contact with the devotees of the Lord. And Prabhupada mentions, so there is Bhagavan and there is Bhagyavan. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Ji Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata. So somehow or the other, these living entities, the conditioned souls that are, you know, transmigrating from one life form to the other, looking for happiness, those of them that have some faith, that are innocent, as we hear in Nectar of Instruction, that are innocent, somehow they come in contact with the pure devotee. And they receive, you know, the seed of devotional service. So they become Bhagyavan. And then what happens is, once they receive the seed of devotional service, then they associate, they take the association of sadhus. And the sadhus, what are they engaged in? They are engaged in devotional service. So the form of devotional service may vary based on time, place and circumstances. In this Kali Yuga, the form of devotional services, Harinama Sankirtana, chanting of the holy names of the Lord, Shravanam Kirtanam. So one takes part in these devotional activities in the association of devotees, Sadhu Sangha, and one begins Bhajana Kriya. So an important aspect of Bhajana Kriya is, you know, accepting things that are favorable for devotional service, rejecting things that are unfavorable for devotional service. So there are austerities involved, like here Prabhupada, like the verse is saying, "You have attained the supreme devotional ecstasy. Indeed, because of your austerities combined with exalted devotion." So Krishna consciousness, while it is very, very natural to the soul, you know, but in the conditioned state, what is our nature, it appears like second nature, and what is our second nature, it appears like first nature. So the constitutional position of the soul is to be engaged in devotional service. Ahetuki apratihata ye atma supasidati. So that's the nature of the soul. So whatever austerities we feel, we feel those austerities because of, the bodily conception of life, because we have a sense of, what will give us happiness. And so the main austerity that we are asked to perform is to give up these conceptions that are there in our mind as to what is happiness and what is distress. The devotional service is Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada explained it. It is not about repression. It is engaging our senses in the service of Krishna. And it is actually very, very joyful. Susukham kartam abhyam. It's very, very joyful. Yeah. But then, as I said again, these conceptions about happiness and distress are there for, since time immemorial. So the main austerity is to, in a way, to simply renounce the material conception of life. Prabhupada elsewhere, he writes in 241 that the highest perfection of life is to renounce the material conception of life. He doesn't say, Krishna prema or ecstasy and so forth. So here the word samsiddha is also there, perfection of life. So the highest perfection of life is to give up, the material conception of life, that we are the body and we can find happiness in the realm of the body. So that's the austerity, that one of the austerities that the living entity is called upon. Another austerity is to surrender our false ego. So the Vaishnavas, that's their main, duty, to remind us about our real position. And so when the Vaishnavas are performing that service, sometimes the living entity, because of the tendency to enjoy, it will not accept the advice that the Vaishnavas are giving. So one of the austerity that we have to practically take is to welcome Vaishnava association, is to welcome the intervention of the Vaishnavas in our life, invite, in fact, their intervention. So then we can come out of this cycle of birth and death. So adav shraddha, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, anartha nivritti, nishtha, ruchi, asakti bhava. So here he's saying you have attained the supreme devotional ecstasy. Indeed, because of your austerities combined with exalted devotion, your life is now successful. You have achieved complete perfection. So there are stages of bhakti. And by hanging on, tightly to the process of devotional service in the company of devotees, we can be rest assured, we should have that conviction that we would come to that stage where we are completely free of, our misconceptions and anarthas. And these higher stages of devotional service, they are not just elusive, but they are actually a reality that is available to each one of us, not just for a few, select people. But it calls upon, firm faith, and then acting on that faith. So staying the course of devotional service, how many of our lifetimes it takes? Ideally in this lifetime, but even if it takes many lifetimes, not leaving the lotus feet of Krishna. So those are some of the things that I wanted to share before discuss more. I wanted to see if there is anything anybody would like to share, add, or ask. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I think either you or Nityanand Prabhu can help with this. Either you or Nityanand Pran Prabhu would help with this question. You're talking about the stages of bhakti, adoshata tata sadhu sangha bhajana kriya anartha nivritti. Now, It seems that, you know, this process of Krishna consciousness, anartha nivritti, is given so much importance that the sadhaka is not allowed to get out of that situation. And in fact, the anartha nivritti, in CC, it is written that anartha nivritti continue till the stage, the very high level of stage. But it's so much of founded, it's so much of enforced upon the devotee that they don't come out of that stage and not think anything more about anything else. And that's hindered the progress. And you're talking about that hanging on will remain the this process, be getting higher level of consciousness. But most of the devotees, they don't know that there is something beyond anartha nivritti that they should aspire for. So they don't aspire for that thing and don't get anything. And they're trying to get out of the anartha nivritti, anartha nivritti, anartha nivritti. But anartha nivritti can only go when you desire something more. Unless you desire anything more, taste, anartha nivritti doesn't go. It's written in Bhagavad Gita also. That Vishaya Vinaya Vartante Nirahasya Dehina Rasovardhana Rasopi Asya. So, can you clarify the situation, how to understand the situation, either you or Nityanand Pran Prabhu?
Okay, I don't know what you mean by the emphasis. What was the exact word that he used? Okay, well, Prabhupada clearly mentions that our movement is a movement of, you know, Krishna consciousness. It's not that we become anartha conscious. Well, we should understand, as you're saying, first is sambandha gyan. We should clearly understand, you know, from Madhuri Kadambini and other scriptures, the stages of bhakti. So there's Adarshadha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajanakriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishtha, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, and Prema. So these are not like, they're not boxes that you just go from one to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. For example, Shraddha is there from beginning till the end. Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada explains, or I should just explain, that in one sense, prema can be said to be the maturing of faith, Shraddha. Sadhu Sangha is there, you know, in the beginning stages of devotional service, in the intermediate and the end. So the emphasis is Sadhu Sangha. And then in Sadhu Sangha, what do? Bhajana Kriya. So in a horse carriage, you know, the horses come in the front, the carriage comes in the back, right? You put the horse before the cart. So bhajana kriya, you're saying, bhajana kriya is the strength on which the anartha nivritti will happen. Okay. So it's not that we are giving more emphasis to anartha nivritti. What we have to understand clearly that there is also a stage of devotional service. We cannot sort of skip or bypass that stage. The higher stages of devotional service are, we should all aspire for them. But then we cannot, sort of, there is no shortcut, so to speak. And there is no shortcut. We would all like a shortcut, but there is no shortcut. In fact, in Madhuri Kadambini, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he, in a detailed manner, he analyzes anartha, the different categories of anarthas. And he talks about how there is a first cutting, and there is a second cutting, and there is a third cutting, like that. So, this is not so that we become morose, you know, we're all just talking about anartha nivritti. No. We should understand. Because anartha nivritti, it also, as we heard in Gita Nagari also, it can extend. It usually extends even over many lifetimes. So we have been doing mixed devotional service for many, many lifetimes. So we have to understand, but then Krishna mentions that on this path there is no loss or diminution. So the what I have accrued, there is no loss. So I continue from there. This is why our acharyas also explain that actually what I'm aspiring for is I want devotional service unto you life after life after life. So that devotional service is prema bhakti, but that and that devotional service can be understood as, so it can be in the realms of vidhi sadhana bhakti also. That if I don't finish, for example, let's say in this lifetime I don't finish, you know, I don't come to the stage of perfection, my aspiration doesn't change. My aspiration is still that I want pure devotional service. And I continue from where I left off. And I continue from where I left off. So, I don't, you know, I guess I agree with you that, you know, emphasis is being given on anartha nivritti. It's not. Utsahan nishchayat dhairiyat tat tat karma pravartanat sangatyaga satovrite. So the emphasis is there. So how to maintain enthusiasm even when, you know, things are turbulent? Utsahan nishchayat dhairiyat. So we have to understand. So as you're saying, part of the education is to train the people that there will be turbulence. For example, before we get on the aircraft, right? So there are all these safety instructions are given. So it's not that, you know, in the event of an emergency, they are educating us that this is what you do. So they are not preparing that it's going to happen. They are hoping it will not happen, but they are educating the passengers. So understanding, you know, what the anarthas are and how to, again, I agree with you, the importance should be to how to get on the other side. That's where the emphasis should be put, and I think that's where it is put. For example, I mean, look at what we're doing, my God. I mean, for 2 hours in the morning, we are chanting the holy names. So that's for chanting the holy name. And, you know, so the meditation can be Cheto Darpana Marjanam. That, my dear Krishna, please, when I'm chanting the holy name, you please, you know, I want this mirror to be clean. Because what's happening is these anarthas, they are actually impediments in our devotional service. So the devotee is aspiring that the anarthas be removed so that he can serve Krishna in an unmotivated and uninterrupted way. It's not that, you know, he's free from suffering, but he's understanding that, wow, I have this goal. I have the goal of life is to render devotional service, but these anarthas are getting in the way of that, you know. So he's praying to the Supreme Lord, Narsingadev, please remove these anarthas, because through this devotional service, process of devotional service, I can establish my relationship with you. And these anarthas are getting in the way. So actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that the anartha nivritti is also our devotional service. Working on removing our anarthas. But of course, we can't do it ourselves. We need the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So it takes two. So it definitely should be done carefully. Like in Gita Nagari, the theme was acceptance and progress. It's not that, you know, we are so conscious of our anarthas that we go into, you know, ignorance and lamentation. But we should have a good idea about what our challenges are. That's part of, you know, a Vaishnava's life. Introspection. Yeah. It's not like we dwell on it all the time. But praying to the Supreme Lord, you know, this is an anartha which comes again and again. I'm trying, but I need your help. I'll not leave your lotus feet. I need your help. Anyone else would like to add something else? Is that okay? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, In Gita Nagari, Maharaj was telling that there is a nice point to maintain the enthusiasm. There was a nice verse he quoted, and from there it was written, if we sincerely, pay our attention strongly while chanting, then we can have enthusiasm. And I remember that line, it was in translation, it was written. And another things regarding the anartha nirvruti, one has not to go for extra endeavor for that. It is a byproduct. It will automatically come when one will have other preceding stages like sadhu sangha and bhajana kriya. Then automatically this will come. You don't have to do extra endeavor for that. Anarthanivodhi. It will automatically come. Just like in Nectar of Devotion, it is stated, there's devotional service just like a wildfire, that is fire in the forest fire. So it will burn all the small, creepers and snake, everything in the forest. So like that, when one will have devotional service, strong devotional service, engaged all the times, then all this unwanted thing will go away.
Thank you. Actually, Madhuri Kadambini, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes that, as Prabhu is saying, so many of these unearthers, they leave, as we can see. But he mentions that the unearthers that rise in somebody's heart, as they are committing an aparad, Vaishnava aparad, Nama aparad, especially Nama aparad, he says, those are the last ones to leave. So we have to understand, it's not, so many of the things, as he is, Prabhu is saying, just like how when a lion roars, the animals flee. So similarly, when we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, many of the things, fall away. We have noticed that. But what happens is, as we are performing devotional service, then we are committing offenses against the holy name, against the Vaishnavas, against the deity form of the Lord. And those offenses, they give rise to anarthas. It's like an elephant's back, so to speak. So they give rise to anarthas. And those anarthas are hard to overcome. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes that those are the last ones to leave. So we have to understand there is clearing and clearing and clearing and clearing and clearing. So when we hear that, I should be careful in not, committing Vaishnava aparad or Nama aparad. So let me strive for that. When we hear that, so we can intensify that. That should be an impetus to do our bhajana appropriately. You follow? So do our bhajana kriya appropriately. So it should not be like, oh man, there's no way out here. Anything else? He's in the front room.
Wondering if I should add to the discussion or ask my question. It is not my experience that our institution focuses mainly on anartha nivritti. It's not my experience. My experience is that there is a lot of focus on sadhu sangha. The reason being that anartha nivritti does not happen without sadhu sangha and bhajana kriya. What we as devotees or sadhakas deal with is lukewarm sadhu sangha and very light bhajana kriya, and therefore we struggle with anarthas, and that's what occupies all our consciousness, the struggle with the anarthas. And sometimes the struggle with the anartha is so intense and it is so close to the face that we forget the big picture. The big picture is Sadhu Sangha and Bhajana Kriya. In fact, the anarthas sometimes are so intense that we don't even want to do Bhajana Kriya. We lose our enthusiasm, or it becomes lukewarm or whatever. And then someone has to walk us out of that mess. And so sometimes the attention may be, here's the anartha, here's what's happening, here's the first step you take out of it, here's the second step. But the goal is to bring us back to proper sadhu sangha and bhajana kriya. When bhajana kriya is good, person moves through anartha and everything without a problem. So we keep forgetting sadhu sangha, and I really appreciated this point, that we should welcome that association. We should welcome the intervention of the devotee. That, Prabhuji, what's going on? Here's what you need to do. Recalibrate yourself. Where's your, how, what does sadhu sangha mean? It's not like we're in the group of devotees and jumping and dancing or sitting with a book, or that is not sadhu sangha. That is the expression of it. But deep down there is so much more. Anyway, I don't want to digress. So the focus is not so much anartha nivritti, the focus is on bhajana kriya and sadhu sangha. That by the power of their association, we will have the strength, courage, enthusiasm, mercy to move beyond the anarthas. So that's not my experience. So that's the focus.
Yeah, devotional service, there will be challenges on the path of devotional service. But when we have the right, association, my experience is that meeting those challenges actually becomes a joyful experience. When we are struggling alone, then we are finished. But if we have relationships where we can open our heart, Guhyam Akhyati Prichati, right? Dadati Pratigranati. Guhyamakhyati Prichati. Bhungte Bhojayate Chaiva Sadvidam Priti Lakshanam. So these are the six ways in which love is exchanged between devotee and devotee. So Guhyamakhyati Prichati. So when we have such relationships, then we can face anything. We feel fearless, like the dog that has a master and the dog that doesn't have a master. What's the difference? Anatha and Sanatha. Yeah. Maharaj Parikshit also prays for the same, actually. He is saying, if I don't make it home back to Godhead in this lifetime, I'm asking for three things. One is pure devotional service. Second is the association of devotees. And the third is Suhridam Sarvadehinam, having friendly relationships with all living entities. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in many of his books. So Vaishnava association, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, what is the most unfortunate thing in this world? He says, to be bereft of Vaishnava Sangha, that's the most unfortunate thing. Because in Vaishnava Sangha, whatever we know, whatever we are applying, how did we get it? It's all Vaishnava Sangha. The Vaishnava, he introduces us to the holy name. He introduces us to the deity, to the devotee, the prasadam. Everything we have is Vaishnava. Sri Ramanujacharya, we were hearing his pastimes recently. His emphasis on Vaishnava Seva, Vaishnavas. So when we have such relationships, then we feel fearless even in the midst of thunderstorm. Thank you. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu. What is bhajana kriya? Kriya means activities. Bhajana, Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita, the word bhakti, right? I usually get confused. Yeah, bhakti comes from the root, Sanskrit root word bhaja. Bhaja means to worship. Bhajana kriya. So literally it means activities by which we worship the Supreme Lord. And there are, one can say there are nine ways, nine activities of pure devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam. Shravanam is hearing. Kirtanam is chanting. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, remembering the Supreme Lord, Vishnu Smaranam. But how does that come? Prabhupada writes, by intense hearing and Kirtanam, glorifying, one gets to the stages of Smaranam, remembering. There are also different stages of Smaranam also. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Arshanam, Vandanam, Dashyam. Arshanam is worshipping the deity form of the Lord, Arshanam. Vandanam, offering praise to the Supreme Lord, offering praise to the Supreme Lord. Soli Guru Vashtakam we are singing in the morning, then Govindam Adipurusham. These are standard prayers, Mandanam. And we can also, under the guidance, with the guidance of the Vaishnavas, we can also compose, you know, personal prayers that is relevant for us. So that's Mandanam. Arshanam Mandanam Dashyam, accepting the Lord as one's servant, serving Him. Sakhyam Atmanivedam, considering the Lord to be one's friend, and Atma Nivedanam is finally full surrender. So these are standard activities of devotional service, bhajana kriya. Again, nectar of instruction, maybe you've read. It says, tat tat karma pravartanat. Yeah. Tat tat karma pravartanat means, what are the sadhus doing? Sadhus are doing the same things, and they are engaging us, they're requesting us to do the same things. So bhajana kriya, summarily, means worshipping the Supreme Lord in varieties of ways. Not concocted varieties of ways, but there are standard varieties of ways. So we look to scriptures. And again, the bhajana, depending on one's stage of devotional service, the bhajana kriya looks different. Like right now, we are performing vidhi sadhana bhakti. So the principles of regulative principles of devotional service that guide us, that guide our bhajana kriya. Then there is another stage, higher stage, is raganuga bhakti, where one has developed in a spontaneous attraction. So in a way, he doesn't even need rules and regulations. Not that he will not follow rules and regulations, but he wants to follow it himself. Like Prabhupada said, I mean, nobody's asking me to get up at 12 o'clock in the morning to translate books. There's no force. I want to do it. There's no like alarm clock and, you know, hitting the snooze button 5 times and they just, you know, they jump out of bed to do devotional service. So there's spontaneity, bhajana kriya. There's bhava bhakti, prema bhakti, like that. So there are, so bhajana kriya, it's a very deep subject, good question. And depending on one's stage of devotional service, you know, one performs bhajana accordingly. So initially, for example, our bhajana kriya may be just, you know, like initially we see just the, you know, the direct devotional activities as our bhajana kriya. But Bhaktisiddhanta explains that if one performs one's, you know, quote unquote worldly duties, right? Let's say somebody has a job, and he says that those activities, they also have the same purifying effect as the direct devotional activities, if it is done in the proper consciousness. Like Krishna is telling Arjuna, he's not saying, forget the battlefield, just chant and hear. He's saying, you're a kshatriya, perform your kshatriya duties as a service unto me. So then bhajana, nice question. Bhajana is, it actually, there is no break, so to speak. Usually bhajana, Prabhupada, literally, sometimes during his day, he would call for his harmonium. And he would sit down and he would do his bhajan. Yeah, that's literally bhajana kriya. But, you know, he's writing of books, you know, speaking, worshipping the deity, you know, meeting the guests, guiding his disciples, you know, orchestrating a worldwide movement. Everything is his worship, is his offering to the Supreme Lord, bhajana kriya. So it's not a secular life, that this is my bhajana kriya, morning and evening. and during the day, Haribol, anything I do is not Bhajana Kriya. But again, Bhajana Kriya or horrible, whatever. Yeah, so it's not a secular life. But in the initial stages, we have to take strength of the direct devotional activities for us to see that, wow, this is how, this is also Bhajana Kriya. You know, like anyway, like grihasthas, for example, for us, taking care of our children, keeping the house, properly. That's all Bhajana Kriya. So in your case, the temple is your place of residence. So besides chanting and hearing, or doing practical services like that, it's all service, Bhajana Kriya. Thank you. Anything else, Mataji? Yeah, Gokulananda Prabhu.
I would like if you can elaborate the terminology struggling with anarthas, because sometimes we may be struggling with something that is not an anartha. We define anartha as something that is unnecessary and maybe an impediment for devotional service. But I find myself sometimes struggling with things that are necessary. And I may be confused, and I'm thinking I'm struggling with anarthas, and actually I'm struggling with devotional service. For example, if I have a service that may be difficult, so I'm struggling with that service, and then I'm thinking that is being an impediment for my other activities or for my reading or for etc. So I try to get rid of that activity or that service in order to become more devotional, I can say. So I don't. That is not struggling with anarthas. I'm not doing any effort to get rid of my anarthas. So I would like if you can elaborate a little bit, what does it really mean to struggle with anarthas? In contrast with just trying to make easier my devotional life.
Let me repeat what I heard. I hope I heard you right. So you said that anarthas, typically, anartha, the word anartha means something that is unwanted, right? And let's say I have some service. And to do some service, I need certain things, right, to do the service. And if I don't have those things, facilities, then it affects my devotional service. Yeah? Is that correct? So far? Yeah? Okay. So in such circumstances, so then it's like a fork in the road almost. So one is, so then do I ask for the things that I need for my service, or I have a service but I don't have the facilities and I'm unable to do it, and so I leave that service. Is that correct? Is that what you mentioned? I'm unable to. Is that correct? Slower? Oh, I couldn't hear. Okay. I'm saying, so should I start from the beginning? Okay. So anartha, you explained that anartha means something that is unwanted. Right? Anartha means something.
I didn't mean unwanted, because I may not want to change japa, for example, but I mean something that is not, it may be an impediment. Anartha is an impediment to my devotional development, or
okay, yeah,
or something that I have inside that prevent me to perform service.
Uh-huh. Okay, so anartha is an impediment to perform devotional service. But sometimes, you explained, but sometimes when we are given some service, and we feel that I need certain facilities to do the service, so then what do I do? Should I ask for the facilities that I need? Or because if I don't ask for the facilities that I need, then there is it's highly likely that I will not be able to do my service properly. And so then, you know, I may eventually not do that service. So is that correct?
Basically, we have the term, I'm struggling, Prabhu, with anartha, something. I notice sometimes one is struggling with services. You have too much service according to one perception, perhaps. And so you're struggling with that, and you want to make your practices more smooth. But you're not really struggling with the attitude that doesn't allow you to perform in services without being morose. So one may think that he's in the anartha nivritti and trying to get rid of all the necessary things, and one may actually be there, but he's not struggling with that anartha. He's not trying to take out the anarthas, you're just getting rid of all your necessary things. Instead of trying to struggle with the attitude of, for example, not being able to whatever relate with a devotee or serve chant rounds, for example, you get rid of the practice. You stop doing, for example, cooking, whatever. You stop doing that, and you think that will help you in your spiritual life. But you don't fight, and you don't struggle with the real anartha that is preventing you to perform that service in a way, in a happy mood.
Okay.
So there is some process that many of us may go through in which we start decreasing our practices. And we think that we are in anartha nivritti, but we are maybe doing something else, and we don't really are struggling with anartha. We are just struggling with devotional service. You understand what I mean?
We are.
I'm not struggling with the envy I have or with the lust. I'm struggling with all this service I have. And I will be very happy if I don't have that service. One may think like that. But we are not really going to make a fight with the real thing that is disturbing us. Do I explain myself, or I'm confusing?
Turn the front. Like to say something.
How I understood it is not easy, or oftentimes, what is in anartha is misunderstood. Literally, the word anartha means things or that which is unwanted. And devotees feel, I don't want service. This is an anartha. And so I have a tendency to not want to serve because this is not what I need. Or they feel like these are impediments in my devotional service, or they're impediments, period. So I drop chanting at all. Just forget it. It's the Nanartha. Did I understand you right? Yeah, so sometimes it seems subtle between what is really an anartha and the manifestation of it on the gross platform. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, so the so again, so it comes back to a Vaishnava devotee should be able to introspect, look into their own heart. But we also find that there is only so far we can go with that. We should also have relationships. If we have a relationship where we can, you know, open our heart and share with somebody else, they'll also help us, you know, look properly. So again, so the danger here can be, yeah, I would say in such circumstances it is good to consult with Vaishnavas and really express that this is what I'm feeling. I'm feeling overwhelmed, you know, so many services. So what should I do, basically? I want to carefully, you know, yeah. Yeah, carefully evaluate everything so I can, you know, do my services. I have approached my spiritual master a few times, you know, like as you mentioned, where, you know, the situation was quite intense. And so to be relieved of some service. And he shared that it's not the service is the issue, actually. Even if you take away the service, the issue will still remain. So sometimes, so we have to have the you know, intelligence to understand that the externals are not the issue, basically. You know, something inside, you know, is the issue. So we need to carefully, yeah, look into our own heart, then share with somebody else, and, you know, seek their blessings, seek their intervention. What should I do in this situation like that? That's how we can differentiate. And what may be suitable for one may be unsuitable for the other. For example, as you said, if somebody is anartha, impediment is that they have a hard time, I mean, they say yes to everything, for example. Right? If they say yes to everything, if that's their impediment, that they say yes to everything, and then it becomes too much, and they cannot, you know, function properly. So somebody may have to, so they may have to learn how to carefully, you know, in a Vaishnava way, say no. If somebody keeps saying no all the time, then they may have to learn to say yes. So it's very unique, basically. One other impediment could be, like, let's say there are, you know, I feel I'm overwhelmed, you know, with services. So what Krishna may be wanting from me is that I reach out to somebody. Instead of struggling alone, I reach out to somebody. So that may be my impediment. My anartha is, you know, I have a hard time reaching out to people. Yeah. That may be my anartha. And somebody may be like, hey, can I hold your hand in 24 hours a day? So they said, no, leave my hand. And, you know, when you need to hold my hand again, you can come back. My hand is here, but, you know, you go and you can come back. So it varies. It's unique for each and every one. Like as you said, you know, asking for help. So some of us, we don't feel, we feel that we have to do it, in ourselves alone, and that. But then inviting other, you know, Vaishnavas, I need, you know, support, I need help, can you do that? So it's unique to different individuals. Somebody had their hand raised, or I think we're done here. Okay, thank you so much. Tomorrow's verse 44 will be really nice. Anyway, so whoever covers. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Please accept my humble request.